This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Caller 10, 800-636-1067. You are winning tickets to Iron Maiden, the Future Past World Tour, Tuesday, November 12th, CFG Bank Arena. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com/event. You'll have another chance to win those tickets tomorrow ahead of the Blitz right here at 4 o'clock. We are giving away tickets on a Wizards Wednesday to see the Wiz and the Pistons on Military Appreciation Night coming up over at Capital One Arena. So make sure you're listening in a half hour right at 4:30 if you want those tickets, start of next segment. Here on Grant and Danny. DR, before we get to the Beltway Blitz, some practice injury updates and notes from camp today out in Ashburn. Zach Ertz didn't participate with what they're just deeming as rest, so he should be fine. Marshawn Lattimore would have been his first practice with the team. Remember, he's nursing some type of hamstring injury. Doesn't seem like they're that concerned, but he did not practice today. Cornelius Lucas with that ankle problem he's been dealing with, still not back on the field. He didn't practice once last week. That would be more alarming and worrisome had Brandon Coleman not pitched a shutout against Brian Burns and been awesome. But still, Lucas had been their highest-graded offensive lineman via PFF this year, has been playing well, splitting time with Coleman, so you want him healthy. And then the last guy not on the practice field today listed as DNP with a right hip, kicker Austin Seibert. That one's kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's so I'm hoping that gets cleaned up and he's fine tomorrow. But lingering things like that happen. We've seen it happen against Washington with the Giants kickers. Like if you play against Washington and you're a Giant kicker, you're going to have a groin or something's going to pop
games,
up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw it with Minnesota with their young kicker sensation who hadn't missed all year, then all of a sudden misses a bunch and now he's on injured reserve. You don't want anything like that to creep up.
It is time for our Beltway Blitz. We'll cover the NFL and the Commanders, but let's start things off on the ice. Bailey Johnson covers the Caps for the Washington Post. Bailey, why don't we begin with tonight's game? They're playing the Preds. What do we need to know about the home matchup over at Capital One Arena?
Yeah, it should be an interesting one. Nashville had a lot of roster turnover in the offseason, brought in some big names like Steven Stamkos and Brady Shea and Jonathan Marchessault, but they got off to kind of a slow start. They were sort of the opposite of the Caps in the way that all the Caps' new pieces came together really quickly. The Preds' pieces didn't really come together, but they've started to string things together a little bit more. Lately, they got shut out by old friend Darcy Kemper and the Kings the other night at home, so they'll be looking to bounce back from that, and it should be an interesting one.
Who's their number one goaltender?
You say Soros?
Oh, I meant the Capitals. Sorry.
Oh, the Capitals? TBD. They're going with a straight rotation between Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson. Logan has yet to lose, but I thought Charlie was really strong in the game against Carolina the other night. Even though they lost, he made some huge saves, and that game would have been much more lopsided without him. So we'll find out. I think the Caps like playing both of them. They like to have two guys. Spencer Carberry has said that they like the rotation. The goaltending position has changed so much to where you really can't expect, even if you have a true starter, him to play more than 65 or so games. So to go with a straight split and eventually maybe have one of them go 2-1 or something like that is something I could see happening. But right now they're both just playing a straight rotation and the Capitals are happy with how things stand.
Bailey, Alex Ovechkin has 7 goals in 11 games to go with his 14 points. He's on pace for 50-plus and to shatter Gretzky's record this season. But it was just a few weeks ago when everyone was saying, based on his age, there's no way he's not going to do it this year. Is it too early to reverse course and say he is going to do it this year, or do you need to see a little more hockey play out?
I think it's still too early to say he's going to do it this year. I mean, he's obviously playing unbelievable hockey right now and is on one of those tears that he's gone on throughout his career, and you never count him out when it comes to goal scoring, but he is 39, and to expect him to score 50-plus his current pace is a lot. So I think we need to see a little bit more hockey. I think we'll have a better idea probably around Christmas time of how, obviously this current pace is probably not sustainable, but if he still stays right around half a goal a game, that would indicate that he's on pace to break it this year. And if he drops off further than that, then it's probably going to be longer. So I think we need a little bit more time to find out.
Billy, how's their power play doing?
Not awesome. That's pretty much the one thing that's not working for this team right now. The penalty kill's good. They're playing well at 5-on-5. The goaltending's not great, but they also haven't really needed their goalies to steal them anything. So the power play is really the one area that's still having a hard time coming together. They scored the first two games, and there was a lot of optimism, and then they went, I think it was 0 for 23 after that, until they got one a couple of games ago, I think in the Columbus game. So power play is the one area where they have been struggling. They've tweaked a lot of things. They tweaked the units again for tonight's game, based on what they showed in practice yesterday. Connor McMichael is on the first unit now, and Pierre-Luc Dubois is on the second. They had tried out for a little bit having that Dubois line with McMichael and Wilson all play on the same unit to try to get their 5-on-5 chemistry to carry over. That didn't really work. They lost Jacob Chychrun, which affected the chemistry on the second unit because now Rasmus Sandin is running that, which he hadn't done much of. So a lot of moving pieces, trying to figure out how things come together. One of the little quirks of all of their roster changes means that they have many fewer right-handed shots on this year's roster, and while the handedness doesn't matter a ton at 5-on-5, it matters a lot as far as how you structure your power play. So they're still trying to figure out how they kind of remake things while having more left shots than they used to.
Other than Ovi, Bailey, what are the areas where you feel like, you know, maybe the best stories of the first 11 games, or if you were to tell someone who's, you know, hasn't gotten in yet, but let's say they're going to sit down and watch their first game tonight, what are the big themes so far that you would say, here's something you should know that's going really well?
I mean, I think the play of McMichael and Protas is a huge one, to have those two homegrown guys really be taking off and making the leap into being legitimate full-time, not just full-time NHL players, but high-level contributors has been really cool to watch. The other thing I would say is the play of Dylan Strome. It's kind of quietly gone under the radar, but he's having an unbelievable start to the year playing with Ovechkin and Protas. He told us yesterday the key to his play right now is just to get the puck to Ovi, which is a pretty good strategy, but he has a great story going all the way back to when Chicago decided not to qualify him. The Caps picked him up for free, and now he's become a legitimate top-line center on this team. So to watch him do what he's doing right now is definitely something I would point out.
Bailey, thank you as always. Enjoy tonight.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you soon. Hit that NFL sounder, Darius. Our pal Mike Jones, who writes about football for the Athletics, who's going to talk about football on Grant and Danny's Beltway Blitz. Mike, what'd you make of the trade deadline yesterday? Big stories.
You know, pretty interesting. You know, 2 years ago, I think we had 2 trades at the trade deadline. Last year, we had 15. This time, we had 18 with 19 players changing addresses. It's, interesting. Kind of the rich getting richer with Detroit getting a new pass rusher to help them. The Chiefs, adding, DeAndre Hopkins and Josh Uche. I mean, so those teams are front runners, and it's bad news for their opponents. But, you know, at least some of these teams, like the Ravens, the Bills, they were still able to add pieces. But it's going to be interesting to see if these midseason trades actually play off, because lots of times they really don't make a huge difference.
I just don't get how the Chiefs are so inevitable. They have not lost. They've gone, though, from Patrick Mahomes is going to go throw for 5,000 yards, 50 touchdowns. Kelsey's going to go for 1,300. Tyreek Hill's going to go for 1,800. To now, they play defense, they run the ball, and they beat you 20-17 and make just enough plays. But they still never lose, and they just don't seem that much better than everybody else.
Yeah, but what the equalizer is, or the difference maker is their quarterback. Because it's like they play this thing about, like, hey, let's just keep it close until we get to the end when we need Mahomes to make plays first.
But even that, Jonesy, because I agree with you for the record, like, he always makes the plays. He's not even playing that well. He'll make a terrible throw, awful interception. You know, like he's got the same number of touchdowns and picks basically this year.
Yeah, but also the other thing is he's had, look what he's had to work with at the same time.
I agree.
You know, so, and I think like four of his interceptions have been like badly tipped balls that should not go, you know, to his charge, even though it looks says in the stat book, but it's kind of not his fault. But again, with the game on the line, who would you rather have but him, you know? So they've done a masterful job of kind of reinventing themselves to be this defensive juggernaut. They're almost like the Belichick, Brady, Patriots, where, you know, they lean on their defense and then you have Brady just making all the right throws, you know, game on the line, march down and score, you know, and now, you know, you saw DeAndre Hopkins and then Travis Kelce was more open because teams had to worry about Hopkins. And so here they are. They can run the ball better than they ever have. Their defense is better than they ever have down the stretch of the season. Because remember how the Patriots in October, in September, always looked kind of shaky. Then November, December, January, they were juggernauts. That's what's going to happen with these Chiefs team.
All right, Mike, put you on the spot here a little bit. Of your eight division leaders, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston, Kansas City, AFC, Washington, Detroit, Atlanta, Arizona, NFC, which of those teams is not leading their division in a month?
I kind of think, I don't think Arizona is leading theirs in a month. I'm back and forth. I don't know about Washington yet. I need to see what happens with these two games against Philly. That'll be the truth teller. I think it's possible. But again, if Philly continues to like hit their stride and Nick Sirianni stops being stupid with his, you know, rolls of the dice, Philly can win that division just because of their experience factor. But we'll see. It's going to be compelling. And then I think that Pittsburgh probably is going to come down earth just a little bit and get overtaken by the Ravens.
You mentioned Baltimore. They're primed for a primetime game with the Bengals on Thursday night. We just got word that Lamar Jackson is going to play. I have a sneaky suspicion Cincy, who took them to overtime in Cincy a few weeks ago, could give them a run for their money. The Bengals need that game tomorrow night.
They badly need that game. But the problem is their defense. I thought that they were one of the losers of the trade deadline. They weren't able to add help for their defense. They needed multiple pieces for their defense. You know, their offense has dealt with injuries, but they're still, you know, can put up points. I thought their defense kind of needed something here. And so we'll see. I think it'll be compelling. It'll be a good game. I don't know if they beat the Ravens yet, though.
Mike, thank you as always, buddy. Talk soon.
Thanks. I'll see you guys.
You got it, man. Hit that local 53 sounder. God, that name should change. Liam Griffin, Washington Times, joins us to talk about the local 53. Liam, what do you make of the trade for Marshawn Lattimore?
I think you're going to feel good about that trade. You see a need. The secondary has been a concern really since training camp, and you address that with the best cornerback on the market. So I think Commanders fans got to be feeling pretty good about that trade.
It's obvious that they are buoyed in the secondary by adding a new top corner. How much do you anticipate him helping them against the run, just from the standpoint of being able to maybe rely on him on the edge by himself and then stacking the box a little bit more often?
Well, he's someone who is like a solid run defender and doesn't miss very many tackles. But it's also when you're coming from, obviously, Emmanuel Forbes didn't play any snaps on Sunday and has been worked as a defense, but he struggled mightily in the run game. When you're pairing Marshawn Lattimore, who is solid on that edge, and maybe moving Mike St. Brown onto the slot, and he is not afraid to get his nose dirty, I think that you're going to see some better contain on some of these outside runs that have been busting free more and more.
Let's go to some of these injuries that have been kind of lingering. I mean, Brian Robinson, sort of a surprise to a lot of us outside looking in, not playing this past weekend. Cornelius Lucas kind of continues to be banged up. They've had relatively good fortune, knock on wood here, with injuries to this point, but I've seen things derail seasons, and you know, that's certainly one that could rear its ugly head. Where are they at with some of these nagging injuries?
Well, Brian Robinson got back onto the practice field today, and as far as Cornelius Lucas, they feel good about having Brandon Coleman behind him to step into that left tackle spot. He played well against the Giants on Sunday. So I think this is just kind of part of the nature of an NFL season. This 17-game season is not easy on anybody, and obviously there's that injury to Jaden Daniels as well. It's just some of these are kind of these lingering things. Marshawn Lattimore, who we mentioned, is dealing with a hamstring injury. These kind of soft tissue things will linger over time. Hamstrings, groins, things like that are kind of harder to get past as the season moves on, but I think it's just something that'll go away with time. I think the fact that you only have the one catastrophic injury, the torn pec for Jonathan Allen, I think as long as you're avoiding those big, you know, season derailing injuries, I think you're still feeling pretty good if you're the Commanders training staff.
Is there any thought that Coleman could just play all of the snaps at left tackle moving forward, or when Lucas is back healthy, will they want to do a timeshare? I got the idea they were just trying to not give the rookie too much to basically overwhelm him, but if he proves he's capable of it, then why not just let him roll?
Well, for the same reason that you said, if he's capable of it, why not let him roll? On their end, they say this timeshare thing has been working, so, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think that's something that, unless somebody has a real miss of a game, I think they'll try to work Lucas back in, because it can't hurt to have an extra guy who's performing well at your left tackle position, and it is going to ease your rookie in. And you have to remember about Brandon Coleman, he was not a sure thing as a draft pick either. He was someone who a lot of analysts viewed as he might need some time to get used to an NFL game, to kind of work out his moves and to prepare for some of the top edge rushers in the NFL. And, oh, look, T.J. Watt comes to town this weekend, so I think you're going to see a lot of that on Sunday as well.
Put you on the spot here, Liam. Give me a receiver that hasn't yet broken out that you think is going to break out in this, quote-unquote, second half of the season.
Exclusively on the Commanders, I think everyone is kind of waiting for the Luke McCaffrey game. I think we've seen from Noah Brown what we're going to see from Noah Brown as this kind of number two target for Jayden Daniels when Terry McLaurin's not able to break free. Noah Brown is going to be there. But I think they're still waiting to find this third guy. Olamide Zaccheaus has flashed in, you know, here and there. Diami Brown has some yards after catch ability. But they spent a third-round draft pick on Luke McCaffrey, and I think he's going to see more targets as the season goes along. Or at least he's going to fans will want to see those targets start to go his way to kind of justify that draft capital.
We're going to ask this question to our listeners next and take some calls on this. I want to get your insight. How good do you think they are right now post-Lattimore trade? And what would you say is this team's realistic ceiling this season?
Well, I think that the Lattimore trade shores up the number one hole that you could point to on this team, which is that secondary. Obviously, it's not going to be a, you know, the pass defense is not fully solved by one cornerback, but it's going to go a long way. Everyone else in that secondary gets to move down a peg. Benjamin St. Juice has struggled a little bit this season, but he's also been going up against number ones, and that's not the caliber of player that he is. So you move him to the number two spot. Mike St. Ristel can go into the slot where I think he can be a real difference maker. I think the floor and the ceiling of your defense really rises. And as for the ceiling of the team, you have Jayden Daniels at quarterback, and with the way that Cliff Kingsbury has been calling plays, with the way this run game has maintained, even without Brian Robinson, I think that the floor on this team is really high, and that ceiling is inching forward day after day with each of these games against high-caliber opponents, like the Ravens a few weeks ago, the Steelers this week. Realistically, if I was talking to a Commanders fan, I would say an NFC Championship game appearance. It's just so hard to make it to the Super Bowl as in your first real run with a rookie quarterback, a first-year head coach, even if he does have that experience. I think that this will be a strong year for them, and I think at the end of it, you're looking at it, and Jayden Daniels has some playoff experience under his belt. The team understands what January football is like. I think that'll be a win as you look to build this team going forward.
Liam, thank you, buddy. Have a great week.
You too.
There's Liam Griffin. That's your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We're going to be joined by Ken Harvey, who was a part of the 96 Redskins team that started 7-2. That was the last time after nine games Washington had seven wins. He's joining us in about 40 minutes. We've got those Wizards tickets for you as soon as we return, so get your dial and fingers ready. Next on Grant and Danny, you just heard the question of Liam. We'll pose it to you guys. We'll give you our answers as well. Post-Lattimore deal, how good is this team? And what is a realistic ceiling for them this season? This is The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Well, I think that the Lattimore trade shores up the number one hole that you could point to on this team, which is that secondary. Obviously, it's not going to be a, you know, the pass defense is not fully solved by one cornerback, but it's going to go a long way. Everyone else in that secondary gets to move down a peg. Benjamin St. Juice has struggled a little bit this season, but he's also been going up against number ones, and that's not the caliber of player that he is. So you move him to the number two spot. Mike St. Ristel can go into the slot where I think he can be a real difference maker. I think the floor and the ceiling of your defense really rises. And as for the ceiling of the team, you have Jaden Daniels at quarterback. And with the way that Cliff Kingsbury has been calling plays, with the way this run game has maintained, even without Brian Robinson, I think that the floor on this team is really high. And that ceiling is inching forward day after day with each of these games against highest caliber opponents. Like the Ravens a few weeks ago, the Steelers this week. Realistically, if I was talking to a Commanders fan, I would say an NFC Championship game appearance.
NFC Championship game appearance. Think about those words strung together about your Washington Commanders. They have not played in one of those since 1991 when I was just a couple of years old. Think about that.
Well, that's how you normally string them together. Where, like, you know how people say, you never hear those words in a sentence. Sure you do. This team is no NFC Championship team. There, I put them in a sentence, right? But that's not realistic. That's what we're talking about.
Liam Griffin, who just joined us on the Beltway Blitz there. We want to ask you the question we posed to him. We'll do that in a second. But caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067 is promised. It's Wizards Wednesday. Congrats. You're going to win two tickets to see the Wizards and the Pistons. Military Appreciation Night coming up, presented by Leidos and the Wizards. They're going to honor all those who have served and continue to serve our country. For the complete Wizards schedule and tickets, visit thefandc.com/contest. So, Danny, you start here. What do you view right now as the realistic ceiling for this football team?
So I want to be very clear. This is your best case scenario. It's not my prediction. This is the best case scenario. They could be one of the four teams in a conference championship game. And when that happens, this is the thing I used to talk about for so many decades with Washington, that really means you belong. That's one of those you've got as good a shot as anybody. You shuffle them up and deal. Yeah, there's a team that's probably better than you 9 times out of 10 or whatever, but you're now in the really meaningful, there's a legit shot at a championship versus just eking into the playoffs once every handful of years or whatever with a hot streak. But last year, go to that conference championship weekend. San Francisco, Detroit, Kansas City, Baltimore. Pretty much the four best teams in the NFL last year, right? Most of the year, up and down, but Detroit especially got super hot and they were unbelievable. There are other teams that were good, don't get me wrong, but that's your elite four. That's your best group. I think that's Washington's ceiling, is they could absolutely be in a conference championship game.
So I will do the same exercise where I provide a caveat first, okay? This is not a prediction. We are talking about what realistically is this team's ceiling, what they are realistically capable of this season. And I'm going to sound like a Kool-Aid drinking fanboy if you think that I am suggesting that this will happen or predicting that it is going to happen, which is not what I am doing. Their ceiling is to win the Super Bowl, realistically. They are every bit as good as I've been saying for 3 weeks, and nothing has happened to change my opinion. I'm willing to change my opinion as we go, just like I have. I did not think that as of before week one. I certainly didn't think that after they got blown out by the Bucks, when I thought they might actually just be flat out bad. But as things change, I will change my opinion. You're allowed to do that, and I plan on doing it. Right now, this moment, that's when we're answering the question, right? This moment in time, post Marshawn Lattimore addition to this defense, a very good corner for a team that is light at corner, that is improving defensively, that has gone from bad to okay on defense, that is elite on offense, that is excellent on special teams, that has won 7 of its last 8 games, that has blown out bad teams, that hasn't lost at home, that has gone on the road and convincingly beaten bad teams and beaten some good teams, and they've won shootouts and they've won lower scoring games now. They've done it every which way. They are getting great quarterback play. They are well coached. They are mostly healthy. They are better today than they were 3 weeks ago, and they were better 3 weeks ago than they were in week three. They are ascending. This team is a championship contender. That's the ceiling, in my opinion. Detroit is better. I believe that. The Chiefs are better. Lifetime Achievement Award, they're 8-0. They find a way to win every single week. Other than that, I don't think anyone is definitively better than Washington. There are teams that would beat them potentially in toss-up games. Baltimore, I would say, is better. We just saw that game play out. But the Ravens are capable of playing down and playing badly and losing in the playoffs or you know, that would obviously be the Super Bowl cross-conference. Right. But we have seen them lose to the Browns. We have seen them lose to the Raiders. They normally get up for the good teams. But if you're just doing the exercise right now where you're going through every NFL team, and I've been doing this for a few weeks, Washington is not as good as Detroit. They are not as good as Kansas City. Everybody else, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston, Baltimore, Atlanta, Minnesota, Philadelphia, Green Bay, they're in that same bucket.
And that's the key right there. You just said it. I would probably rank them below the Bills. Now, most of that's lifetime achievement, but I think I still probably would. I'd probably put them aside. Detroit, I think, is different, right? Kansas City, same deal. I'd probably, if everybody's healthy and all things are equal, I might rank them a tick below Houston, even though Houston hasn't been great this year. But again, part of that's lifetime achievement. That's not the point, to me, of what you're saying. I don't want to speak for you, but my takeaway, my pullout from what you're talking about is they are in that, this is not just a fluky, you know, any team can beat any team any given Sunday crap, like as Washington always used to do, but they'd beat the Super Bowl, eventual Super Bowl champion, or like they played Tampa tough that time with Taylor Heineke. No. They're in that really, really good bucket. Shuffle them up, right? Like, you know, good luck, bad luck. Rainy that day or not. As you know, did somebody, their toe drag inbounds or out of bounds? They're in those conversations with some of the best this league has to offer this year. There aren't really teams that are utterly dominant. You're not seeing anybody just boat race people, you know, all through the season, as has happened in years past. I know Kansas City's undefeated, but they just win one score games every week, right? And they deserve credit for that. I'm not knocking them for that. They are the... They're going for a three-peat, which is unfathomable. And they'll go to the AFC title game again, by the way. But I guess my point is they're not so distantly away from some of these teams that are absolutely capable of winning the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I just think that in a playoff game, other than the Lions, where I think if they played that game 10 times, they probably lose it 7, it's a coin flip. It's a toss-up. Right now, they would play Green Bay at home. They could absolutely lose that game.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Love could throw for 325 and 4 touchdowns. They could lose by 14. I could also see him winning that game by 11 and picking off Jordan Love, who's the most intercepted quarterback in the league, five times. They could play Atlanta. You know, those are two division winners, so it would be in the second round. But let's say in a hypothetical, in round one they play Chicago at home. We just saw that game. They beat the Bears. And by the way, you could say, oh, it took a Hail Mary. Well, it took a Hail Mary because they went 0 for 800 in the red zone. They were the decidedly better, clearly better football team. So they beat Chicago at home, and then the next week, let's say they're playing the Atlanta Falcons, potentially at home, or there, whatever. Now, is that an easy game? No. Atlanta can run the ball. Cousins is lighting the joint up. He's got really good receivers, and well, they have a really good scheme. I don't know how good the weapons are, but, you know, Darnell Mooney's making plays, and Ray McLeod's making plays, and Drake London's good underneath. But the point is, that's a winnable football game. That's a bad defense. That's a fatal flaw for Atlanta. That's not a Super Bowl-type team, I don't think. But I just look for, are you of the caliber of the types of teams that are going to be hanging around in the playoffs? And you cannot tell me, unless you just want to use the last 15 years as prologue and what I'm calling lifetime achievement, hold against them that they're Washington, that the other shoe's going to drop, that they can't possibly be this good. I'm saying take that little Men in Black wand, put it in front of your face, and set the date for anything that happened before September 5th of this year you've never seen before. And only evaluate this football season. I don't think there's a gap between them and Kansas City. I don't think there's a gap between Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston. Now, don't hear me to say that they'd win all those games. That is different. But I think grown-ups can understand the observation, which is to say they're good enough that there is nothing that they do so badly that they wouldn't be able to go on a run in the playoffs. And that doesn't mean you don't get bounced in the first round because you're inexperienced.
Too, yeah.
Maybe you do. But I've never said this about them before. Like when they made it in 2015, the last time they made the playoffs, remember they hosted Green Bay. They were red hot going in. They'd won four in a row. Cousins and the offense were rolling. I remember we felt like they could beat Green Bay.
I predicted they would.
I think they went up 11-0 in that game.
Yeah, because DeSean Jackson was like, end zone? No, thank you. Not for me.
Who could forget?
No interest in that.
But they were up. I mean, the point is they weren't like completely outmanned. They ended up losing the game to Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. But you felt like they could win that game, and maybe they could, like a magical carpet ride thing could happen. They could win a couple games. But there was a clear delineation between them and the elite in the conference.
Yeah.
That is not there right now. There is no gap. There's no Grand Canyon. They are right there with the best in the conference. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and I think that's the conversation. I mean, again, it's also about the league, too. I mean, let's say Washington's doing this. I'm making up a year. In 2021, the year the Rams won the Super Bowl, right? With all those veterans and, you know, somehow they made the salary cap work. They're beating Cincinnati with Burrow at the height of his powers. They were unbelievable. Tampa Bay was 13 wins with Tom Brady. Green Bay, who we were just talking about a moment ago, 13-4, the last MVP year for Aaron Rodgers there, right? I mean, the landscape was different. Some of these teams were more dominant, I guess is kind of my point. That's not the case right now. I think Detroit's the best team in the NFL. And I know that's, you're not allowed to say that because until they're dethroned, they're still the champs. Okay, fine. You can hang out in the cliche corner. The rest of us will have a convo. Detroit, you look at point differential. You look at how dominant they've been here, especially of late. I think they're playing better than anybody. Is that the case in a month? I have no idea. But looking at it, I'm basically going, there aren't teams that are so clearly head and shoulders above everybody else that Washington couldn't possibly play, despite the fact this is their best team they've had in a long time.
So two things we should do next. First, let's open up the phones for you guys at 800-636-1067 on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. And the question being, what do you think the ceiling is for this Commanders team this season right now as you look at them? And then second, I think there needs to be a second part of this conversation where we actually address what we would predict for them as an outcome as to when their season's going to end right now. Because that's different. I'm saying the ceiling is Super Bowl. I don't think they get to the Super Bowl. But what realistically do you think would happen right now if they made the playoffs? How deep could they get? Let's talk about that next. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. Ken Harvey joins the show at the top of the hour. He was on the 96 Redskins 28 years ago. That's when they were last 7-2. We're G&D. You're listening to The Fan. If you watch us today, we are on our 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. You will see Danny is in our normal studio. I am not. I've got a camera behind me. I'm over at Monumental Sports at their TV facility. I've got the Caps Altcast tonight. So if you get a chance, please check that out on Monumental's second channel. Joby and Locker are calling the game as normal on Monumental Sports Network. And then they've got a second channel, I think, one click away. You can find us doing the old Manning Cast style watch of the game. It's myself, Devontae Smith-Pelly, Tariq El-Bashir, watching the tilt. Tress Way is going to be a part of the program with us as well. Should be a fun night.
Love that you're doing that. I will be tuning in. I had to really search for it on Cox Cable, what I have at home. And it's like so far away from the original channel. Just bad luck. I think that's kind of how the thing happens. But I figured out a way to favorite it, and I can use a favorites list, and that's how it comes up. Because it's not part of my regular rotation unless both teams are playing at the same time.
So for DirecTV, which I no longer have, because your boy is a YouTube TV guy, so it's even easier now. Everything's just like right there, because I say I like the Capitals, and then I log in, and all the Caps programming's right there. But for DirecTV, they were like one dial apart, but I'm sure it's quirky with different cable providers. We'll get to the phones in a second. The question for you guys, 800-636-1067. What do you think the ceiling is for these Commanders? So I said the Super Bowl. I think they are on a short list of teams. If you're doing a power rankings in the NFL today, I would think they'd be in your top five if you really, really like them. If you're lower on them, they're in your top 10. But there are only two teams that I would say are definitely better than Washington based on this year's resume and no past lifetime achievement stuff being accounted for, and that's Kansas City and Detroit. But saying that they're a Super Bowl contender as a ceiling, I think you said NFC Championship game, like Final Four weekend kind of ceiling, which is similar. It's not the same as saying that's what we're predicting.
Correct.
What I would predict right now, if I had to guess as to how this all goes, I would be very surprised if they didn't win a playoff game. I think it would actually be a disappointment as of this moment, and there's a lot of football between now and then, and we'll see how we feel as we get closer. But like if they played a playoff game this weekend against a Chicago-type team or a Green Bay-type team at home, I think it would be disappointing if they didn't win the thing, having won 7 of their last 8 going in with momentum. But I think they are at least a round 2 playoff operation and possibly an NFC Championship berth kind of team. Like, I don't know if they would win that second round game against let's say San Francisco, you know, if they have to play them.
Right.
I don't know if they could win that game and get to the NFC Championship game, but that is kind of my prediction as of right now, that they would win a playoff game and that they would be competitive a round later with the NFC title game on the line.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if I'm predicting right now, and of course it's folly, we have no idea from here on out, but that's what's fun about these kinds of exercises is you get to have these conversations when you're 7-2. I would say they probably dropped their second round game just because it's such a huge thing and it's so damned rare for rookie quarterback, et cetera, to get here. Look what happened to Houston last year. Epic round 1 win, kind of ran out of steam, right? I sort of would view it that way as this was amazing. This was awesome. We're not taking anything away. You're now in the cool kids club. You're one of the darlings of the league. I think that's the status you would achieve there.
All right, so it sounds like a Kool-Aid segment, but it really isn't. It's just a bunch of people talking about a 7-2
team.
Sorry
about the reality.
That's lost once since week 1, and it's been a couple months. Let's go to Moose in Falls Church. Moose, we don't need your prediction. We just need your ceiling for this team as currently constructed.
Yes, hey, guys. Great, Danny. I love you. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I gave it a little bit more thought when I was on hold, and I changed what I was going to say initially. So I think we will make it to the NFC Championship if the guys can stay healthy. And I think we got enough firepower and veteran leadership to go even deeper. And my prediction is to go to the Super Bowl. And guess what? I think, personally, we're going to host that NFC Championship game at home. If we're the number 2 seed right now going in, let's say, behind Detroit number 1, I think the Lions are actually going to get upset at home. It's going to be a shocker. I don't know who they're going to play. And I don't care who we play in the NFC Championship, whether it's San Francisco or whoever, but we're going to make it to the Super Bowl.
Can you imagine? Well, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Let's go to Ben in Bethesda. Ben, we're looking for your answer on what's the ceiling for this group.
From Bethesda! Oh, man. I'm 40 years old. How exciting it is to talk about their ceiling as the Super Bowl. I mean, this is just, it's incredible, man. If they play any team at home, they're going to be favorites, except for Detroit. And even if they end up playing Detroit at home, they're going to be favorites. And I don't see the ceiling being anything but Super Bowl. I think realistically, if they don't make the NFC Championship, it's going to be a disappointment. I hate to say that. I'm not going to be sad. We got years. But don't take this for granted, guys. It's awesome. Go Commanders.
Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man.
I don't think anybody is. I think they're enjoying the ride, and it's a house money kind of joyous sit back, put your feet up, watch it unfold, and be glad after years and years and years that the ball's finally bouncing their way. I do want to mention, because we just said he was in Bethesda, that we are in Bethesda on Friday, Danny, for our field trip 2 days from now.
From Bethesda!
Got to get the word out to your buddies. We never, ever, ever come to Maryland. It's just, and not like we don't want to, but it just hasn't been part of our travel schedule. We almost always do live events in Virginia. And I'll be honest with you, peel back the curtains a little bit. I'm a little nervous about going to Maryland. Not because we have to go across the river. The DMV doesn't include the M in Maryland. But because I don't think the turnout's going to be the same in Maryland for the Pals as it is in Virginia. That is home base.
Oh,
that is our, to use a political term,
interesting.
Like, that is our normal. That's the big tent that we've built. That is our base, so to speak. So we're trying to expand our wings a little bit and go to Maryland. So show out. Let's impress me a little bit. We're going to be at Sports and Social Bethesda, North Bethesda. So that's out by Rockville, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Park Avenue. Sports and Social is where we'll be on Friday.
From Bethesda!
You're going to hear that plenty. I'm telling you right now, Darius is so excited just to play. He's grinning like the cat that ate the canary right now. I'll tell you that. That's number one. Number two, I think of this as like, you know, when the AFC team that's not, that you never play, comes to town and all the fans are like, oh, I got to go see the Chargers or the Dolphins because I never get to see them. Maybe it's like that.
Oh.
Because it's so rare for G&D to venture out there into, what's the name of that place there?
From Bethesda!
It's rare for us to be there. So then maybe they go, it's so special, they're in my neck of the woods.
I just don't know how we poll in Maryland. I get the sense that Virginia's where our real base is. I could be wrong.
Mm.
But I'll be very curious to see what the turnout is like, if it's crickets or what the situation's going to be. I'll tell you that we have had three events, and it's been three home runs
smashes.
So far.
Yeah,
awesome. Leesburg was a smashola. Manassas was a bolt into the 10th row. And I think we hit another big run-scoring knock this past week as well, being out in Fairfax. So now this is a heat check. We're feeling cocky. We're going out to Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
Stepping across the timeline and hoisting. We're nowhere near the rim. You could almost say we're shooting from Bethesda.
From Bethesda!
Mm-hmm.
Friday.
One could. And one could be really excited about a first quarter three.
Live on Grant and Danny, 2 to 6:30. We will let you know how things are looking out there in Maryland. G&D on the Fan, Ken Harvey joins the show next. We are jacked up to talk to his longtime buddy of mine. I did TV with him on Channel 9 for many, many years, pregame shows, a guy that I first interviewed back in 1999, 25 years ago. You're listening to The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.